Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey there. Thank you for joining us for this episode of 13. If you want to hear your name in audio, then you should check us out over on Patreon. Our Patreon is a safe space for people who love ad-free episodes, exclusive merch, and monthly bonus stories. Check it out at patreon.com/13pod. Today's story is What Haunts Anvil House, written by Sophie Newman. Are you ready? Sit back, turn down the lights, and now, on with the show.
I dodge the gatherings of teenagers, avoiding their sloshing drinks as they dance to My Hometown. More concerned about Anvil House than celebrating the end of classes. The party is loud, a combination of cheers for shots, egging people on to go upstairs, and our class ringleader Sean shoving people good-naturedly and asking how they like partying in the most haunted house in Bluegill. Some towns have a boogeyman. We have Anvil House. I should leave. Sean won't notice. He's too busy doing a keg stand. I'll slip out.
Weren't you at Sean's last week?
A girl says. I find her to my left. Even under the uneven tile of the flashlights along the floor, I notice she's pretty as my mouth goes dry. I cough to clear my throat and try to choke out an answer that sounds cool. Yeah, is all I say. And she smiles. I feel like no one else had seen this smile. They couldn't have, or they'd all be here waiting for the next one. Her mouth crinkles at the edges, revealing tiny white teeth. Only one is slightly off-kilter, and it makes her more charming. We'd partied by the empty silos, string lights twinkling. Would I have remembered her there? I wasn't sure. I'd listened to Sean and gotten so drunk that I didn't even remember getting home. I hadn't touched the stuff tonight. My stomach already convinced it would upchuck its contents. Mama's cornbread sits heavy as I think to ask her, "Weren't you at Sean's?"
"Maybe,"
she says. And I realize she's flirting with me. Me. She's not going to ask me to introduce her to Sean, my best friend who'd gotten popular and invited me along for the ride. The incidental friend. I don't recognize her, and I don't want to admit it, so I ask,
"Do you go here?"
But she's looking past me, to where Sean is yelling to take the party outside. I hear their mutters over the music, how a few want to stay to see what happens. It's the site of a double homicide, triple homicide, killer clown, an army of undead in the basement who eat unsuspecting children. My classmates grab the music, following Sean to his house, and I think we are too when she says,
"What? You don't want a party with just little old me?"
I pause. The floors creak as their boots clomp out through the front door. down the front steps and onto the cracked pavement. They take the music and the flashlights with them. We're only a few houses down from Sean's, but the place feels emptier, darker, without the buffer of the group. My eyes adjust to the new darkness, thankful for the bright, full moon outside. The wooden floors are bare, and I find the place suspiciously empty of cobwebs. It's too neat and clean to be abandoned. "Shouldn't we?" My eyes follow the last stragglers, and then she's right in front of me. Her blonde hair is bright in the moonlight as she looks up at me.
"Wouldn't you rather?"
she says, as she runs her fingers down my open flannel, catching her nails on the buttons.
"Stay here with May?"
Her voice twangs harder than mine, and me sounds like May. She smells like lilies, but I'm grasping onto the reasons I never wanted to come here in the first place. No one knows why Anvil House is haunted, but you know by looking at it from how it slants to the side, how the windows, unbroken and smothered in dirt, watch you no matter where you stand. You especially know it's haunted because it's been condemned, and no one, homeless or otherwise, has moved in. I'm about to share all the reasons that Sean overcame in his plea for another night of fun before summer jobs start. "It's just..." Her eyes flicker with annoyance. "It's just..." She mimics and rolls her eyes. I'm about to object when she says, with a shiny pout,
"Don't you want to have sex with me?"
I know my mouth must be hanging open. I can feel spit drying and I can't recover myself. It's the kind of thing I've only heard in the movies. Sean insists this kind of thing happens to him, but I never believed it. I suddenly love how forward she is. This wouldn't be happening if she hadn't insisted we stay and said what she wanted. I'd missed the signs to the thing I thought so often about, except for when I was in Anvil House. English class? Sex. Soccer practice? Absolutely sex. And now, downstairs, in Anvil House, the answer is a throbbing yes. As if she can sense it, she smiles, and I forget her anger. What would Sean say? When I have sex, I only do it in haunted houses? I smile, grab her hand like I've done this hundreds of times, and try not to think of Anvil House.
"Where are we going?"
she says uncertainly as I lead her to the stairs. I puff out my chest.
"We don't want anyone to see."
She nods, and then guides me up the wooden stairs. Each creak is louder than the last. She giggles and looks over her shoulder, and I giggle with her. And then the next step is even louder, and we're giggling like maniacs until we reach the top of the landing. My invented courage only gets us this far. Our giggles fade as we look out the large back window at the sprawling grassland edged by forest. We are alone. There's a sound, not a creaking sound. I reach for her hand slowly.
"We should go,"
I say, while wishing I had a car so we had another option. She shrugs her shoulders, and her voice booms back in the quiet.
"It's fine. I think this one is a bedroom."
She gestures to one of the two doors off the landing. The sound was more of a crunch than a creak. I try not to think as I follow her to the bedroom door. I force a laugh as she enters the room like she'd never heard of the monster of Anvil House who speaks in riddles to earn its victim's death. "No more thinking of Anvil House," I admonish myself. "This is everything you wanted junior year. For some girl to notice you. You are going to have sex, finally. Don't mess this up." She pushes the door open, glancing back over her shoulder with a come-hither look. And I'm too far behind as the door is closing behind her, swinging on its own gravity. She's eclipsed by the door as I catch it, preventing it from slamming shut. I push the door open. It's only a room. I can see the rest of the grasslands through the window. The floors creak like the rest of the house. A chandelier hangs in the middle of the room, empty with room for candles. There's no bed. There's no girl either. I picture a grand, monstrous hand, reminiscent of the old King Kong movies, reaching through the window and tearing her away. "Where are you?" I say, hiding hesitance beneath an "I'll find you" voice, as if I'm ready for this game.
"Right here,"
she calls back in the same tone. There's nothing in the room. Nowhere to hide, and I check the closet. Not even a light bulb.
"I'm right here,"
she says impatiently. Where else could she be? The room is empty.
"Where'd you—"
"I'm right—" Her voice drags from the right side of the room to the left as she finishes.
"Here. I'm right here."
A shiver climbs up my spine and raises the hair on my neck. Will her fingers appear from the slats in the walls? Will she try to pry herself free? But it was the confidence in her voice. The same tone that made me stay now gives me pause. I'm almost too afraid to say it.
"Are you the spirit of Anvil House?"
Her laugh is the distant breaking of glass.
"Spirit? Oh, that's cute. I'm no spirit, but I appreciate your positivity."
Her voice still has the same twang, but it's shifting. The syllables are stressed in the wrong places. I could run. If I start now...
"You will not make it to the hallway,"
she says. Her voice comes from every corner of the room, from behind every slat in the floors and walls and ceiling.
"These old, old planks will snap if I desire it. Should I desire it?"
It knows what I'm thinking.
"No,"
I say hesitantly.
"Good boy."
Pleasure rings through the house. What if the girl is really a hostage that needs saving? I wasn't sure I could accomplish it, but to leave without trying?
"It would be social suicide, wouldn't it?"
Anvil House says, reading my thoughts again.
"This is exactly why I chose you. You understand the power of perception. Your own imagination entangled you here."
If the house is the girl, and the girl is the house, I cross my arms.
"Is this where you kill me?"
The room darkens, and Anvil House's voice swells through every crack in the floor, in the walls, and blows dust into my hair.
"That's not a good place to stop it, Brian Joseph Wright."
My arms drop, and my bravado melts faster than our winter freeze. Everyone said the house was haunted. I guess they were right, I say to myself. I wish there was a painting or something to look at, something to direct my eyes and attention. But there is only Anvil House, and it's all around me.
"And who do you think they heard that from?"
Anvil House says.
"Any old house can be haunted. Give yourself enough time and human nature will do the rest. But not every place can build its reputation."
I have the audacity to hope, and the thought races forward.
"Let me go." "That would be too easy. Not benefiting a boy of your caliber. What do you imagine I'd do? I should have known better, is all I think. I didn't get a chance to articulate a better answer when the house responds. Wonderful, Brian. Yes, I agree. A lesson is in order. The chandelier swings from side to side, and I notice there are no cobwebs. Then it stills. I will ask you a question. Answer truthfully, and you may live. Anything else, and I will cut out your tongue, and then you will not be able to play.
When was the last time you refreshed your bedding? Sleep cooler with Avocado's naturally breathable, certified organic sheets. Choose from GOTS certified organic cotton, linen, or hemp, all made safe certified to the highest standards of non-toxic safety, delivering the ultimate in luxury, sustainability, and style, and a deeper, more restorative sleep. Join Avocado's mission to be one of the world's most sustainable brands at avocadomattress.com.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
I will ask you a question. Answer truthfully, and you may live. Anything else, and I will cut out your tongue, and then you will not be able to play. My stomach clenches, overstuffed with cheap beer and pizza rolls. I should have eaten something solid, any smart choice. What do you fear? Anvil House asks. What? I start and trail off as I remember the house's promise. There is an easy answer. Spiders. And there are answers that are more true, that I know the house will find more satisfying. So many things I'd never said aloud. Even girls, especially this girl, had shaken something loose in me. Something between desire and fear. Oh, foolish boy. You cannot even do this, the house says in disappointment. Air wafts through the floor like a sigh. But I thought, you had been warned, Brian Joseph Wright, the house says. And then there's a new sound. It's the crunching sound from before, followed by a skittering in the walls. I turn in circles trying to find the source. It seems to come from the left, then the right, then everywhere. And I'm getting dizzy as something knocks me to the ground. The chandelier swings in slow pendulum circles above me, and I'm oddly grateful the floor is clean. Infection is somewhere on my list of fears. And then I feel something on my feet. It's strange that I can feel anything through my boots. And I sit up enough to see that it's her. The girl. And there's a half second where I'm relieved. Some part of me still believes she's not the house. Until I realize she's staring at me. Her eyes empty and mouth gaping. A smiling hole. The darkness beneath her face is tight, like I'm caught in deep, sucking river mud. It's pressure. Heavy and viscous, and I try to kick my legs. Not even the slightest movement, and I have that same feeling where you're sinking deeper and deeper into the mud, where you know you're going to lose something. Then she begins to slither up my jeans. Her head is at my ankles and rising, sucking in everything beneath it with each calm, deliberate creep forward. I thought you wanted me, she says, with her false, overdone accent as she slithers higher, reaching my hips. I can't move.
And it really starts to hit me that this could be it. That she could swallow me whole and then I'd never make it to Sean's next party or anything else in this stupid town.
Ain't that a tragedy?
She says in feigned sorrow. She's at my belly. It's terrifying and intimate, and I'm grateful for my white t-shirt that she's not touching my skin, as some dark part of me wonders if she'd strip it off me on her way up. She squeezes me and my stomach heaves. My mouth fills with thick, heavy spit as I almost vomit. Her face is close. So close. Do I even have legs anymore below that face? The thought is enough to make me scream. I try to punch her, anything to stop her from moving upward, and my fist connects over and over with her cheek. She doesn't stop sliding forward. She doesn't look even the slightest flustered, and she won't stop smiling. She's at my chest now, and her teeth are white, even. That one crooked tooth taunts me. I hadn't noticed it earlier, but her lips are split in the corners, like they were used to stretching much wider. It's getting harder to breathe, much harder to breathe, and I'm running out of time, and I can't stop myself from yelling. I get it, okay? I get it! The girl doesn't stop her trajectory, only slinking forward with the kind of deliberation I would normally envy. I'm panting and gasping, and then I'm screaming, I fear this! I fear this! Nothing will stop her. This place wasn't afraid of me or anything else, and it would devour me whole and smile and burp and wait to do it again. I start to laugh, a losing fight against tears. If it's funny and I could laugh, then it couldn't kill me, right? Right? It's a last-ditch, nonsensical thought. She closes in on my neck. Her eyebrows are so blonde, they're practically see-through. Her cheek is against mine, nuzzling me. And her skin is soft, with a downy like a peach. My eyes leak and wetness slips down my cheeks onto hers. Even that is a lie to myself, and I feel the need to believe it, accept it. Perfect. Her breath is warm on my face, smelling of soil and algae. She doesn't hesitate as she's crushing my chest, suctioning it tighter and tighter.
When you're so young, your fear is amorphous. You fear what is possible but not concrete. You do not yet fear what may come to pass.
I'm going to die while the house gloats. My ribs creak louder than the wooden floor.
Not yet, darling boy.
The girl who is Anvil House kisses me lightly on the cheek. Her lips are soft, inviting. Everything I wanted at the beginning of the evening. Her softness makes my tears run faster, out of the corner of my eye to streak toward the floor.
I own your heart and your fear.
There's that smile again. A perfectly even, empty smile. She licks her lips with a small pink tongue, and I flinch as much as I can. She laughs, and it's full sounding. Full of meat, since I'm sitting in the center of her, and it is warm and heavy. Then she begins to retreat, leaving a heavy slime behind. Down my chest, down my belly, down my legs. Then the skittering retreats and I can breathe again. As soon as I'm sure nothing is broken, skin, bones, or otherwise, I stand on wobbly legs. I breathe in the stale house air, and each inhale is a relief. My immediate reaction is to puff out my chest and run a victory lap, but my ribs still ache and the house has stripped me bare. The return of confidence is haunting. only a reminder of what I'd pretended to have.
Your relief is another lie, Brian Joseph Wright. Thankfully, I can feel you fighting your return to this misperception.
The Anvil House pauses, and my fear catches in my throat.
Someday, soon, I will come for you. Don't believe that because I have a fixed domain that I cannot crawl into your bed and remind you of what you fear.
I can picture it. The moment I return home, I'll slip past Mom and Dad, who have fallen asleep thinking I was in bed the whole time. Only my chihuahua, Rambo, will be waiting for me. He'll be curled up on my pillows and growl at me when I enter, only to relax when I offer him a soft pet. Then I'll shower, turning the water so hot I'm pink. When it cools, I'll dry off and slip on boxers, and then the night will start to fade. Especially when I check my messages and Sean will have sent several asking where I was. I'll send him a brief message that I'm home as I slip beneath the covers and wait for sleep. I'll keep waiting, fighting with myself that this was all from a spiked drink. I'll promise myself that I'll do better. I'll resist relaxing, worrying something could still happen, until I start to realize nothing may happen at all. Then my shoulders will come down, and I'll adjust my pillow. I'll breathe in a long, sleepy sigh, and right when I begin to sink into sleep's embrace, the girl who is Anvil House will be there. The house chuckles at my expense.
You may run now,
it offers. I take a few hesitant steps. When the house doesn't stop me, I sprint. Each step moans and creaks with my heavy footsteps. I reach the landing and then there's a crash and I'm falling down and down, and I'm on the floor of the living room where the night started. I blink and groan. From where I'm lying, I can see the hole in the floor above me. I can't move. The house surrounds me, and I feel like there was never a way for me to escape.
They'll come for you soon, Brian. Maybe in the morning. Maybe at first light.
My vision colors with layers of white spots. Unwilling, I pass out as the house says,
and I'll always be waiting.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of 13. If you like what you heard, stop what you're doing and leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. This has been What Haunts Anvil House, written by Sophie Newman, narrated by Kayla Temshev, editing and sound design by Brooke Jeanette. Additional assistance from Ian Epperson and Bridget Freeman. Our producer-level patrons are Tattooed Fox, Rhiannon, Sean Geary, Anthony Diaz, Amy Harper, Jackie Kay, Chantel Payne, Nick, Jake R., and Kozumine. Thank you so much for your support. Click the link in the show notes to learn more about joining us on Patreon. And check us out on social media. You can find us most places under Pod13. And you can join the Facebook group for 13 Podcast. Just look for the logo, and you'll find links in the show notes. If you'd like to submit a story to be performed on the show, or if you'd like to contact us about anything else, you can get in touch at info@13podcast.com. You'll find submission guidelines and other info on our website, 13podcast.com. And you can find that in the show notes, too. Bridget Freeman is waiting in your dreams. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you soon.
Shh. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.